This episode is brought to you by 2Before Performance Nutrition. 2Before is a natural sports performance supplement made from New Zealand blackcurrant berries. There's a growing body of evidence behind these berries for improving endurance and kickstarting recovery. With a sweet and tangy berry flavor, you can mix it in water, juice, sports drinks, and smoothies. For optimal results, drink daily 30 to 60 minutes before training. Use code INDIANA30 online at 2before.com for 30% off 20-pack products and free shipping. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Indiana Runner Podcast. My name is Josh Puccinelli, and this is my portion of the podcast where I sit down with some of the best coaches and athletes from around the state, past and present. We discuss the highs and lows of their running or coaching journeys, the key insights they've gained along the way, and often dive into the bigger picture beyond the course of the track, the things that make them human, not just elite runners or coaches. The following is an interview with David Woods. With a storied career as a journalist, David's journey spans from his roots in Illinois to covering the global stage of the Olympics. Formerly a mainstay at the Indy Star, David now brings his expertise to the freelance realm, predominantly collaborating with Diastat. In this interview, we explore David's introduction to the sport, dive into the landscape of cross-country and track and field in his formative years in Illinois. From his initial venture into journalism to his tenure at the Star, David shares insights gleaned from years of covering the sport at every level. We cover David's favorite moments from his career, discuss the current state of the sport, and glimpse into his excitement for the upcoming Indiana high school season. Plus, we delve into his thoughts on the Butler Bulldog season, his anticipation for running the mini for the first time this May, and much more. David is a true authority, brimming with knowledge and passion for our sport. His genuine enthusiasm shines through as he recounts some of the most memorable moments in cross-country and track and field history. Thank you guys for listening to and supporting this podcast. We couldn't do it without you. As always, hope you all enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And without further ado, I give you David Woods. All right, David, welcome to the Indiana Runner Podcast. How's it going?
Doing well, Josh. How are you?
I'm also doing well. I've been enjoying the time change. The sun's still out. I'm used to recording when it's like pitch black, so that's nice.
Yeah, I don't, we're all supposed to have strong opinions on daylight savings time, and I'm okay with it, so I can't get too excited about it.
Absolutely. So I understand that you had some interesting travels recently, maybe getting a couple of flights either delayed or canceled. How was that?
Yeah, we had a tough 2 days, thanks to British Airways, getting back from Glasgow, Scotland. But it was a great trip, did some sightseeing. It was a great 3-day meet. And as we're just discussing, just in terms of a spectator meet, it's really tremendous. It's just you know, a lot of finals and a compressed schedule, and you know, the dreamer in me would love to see that meet come to Indianapolis again. Some people might not remember the very first World Indoor Championships were in Indianapolis in 1987. So and the venue at Glasgow wasn't that big, so I could see the organizers and the venue at the state fairgrounds holding that meet someday. I think it would work.
That would be awesome. Where was it held back in 87?
RCA Dome.
Oh, okay. That would have been cool.
Kind of cavernous, but it was like 15,000 people, and I don't think Glasgow had much more than seven. And I think the state fairgrounds venue can be amended to hold, you know, maybe six. So anyway, we'll see. I'm kind of a dreamer, but I think that would be cool.
That would be. I haven't been to the new facility in State Fairgrounds yet. I'm looking forward to HSR. Have you been to it?
Yeah, I see a college meet there. It was kind of small. Butler had the very first meet there, and then the USATF combined events were there as well, and they got some good results. I was traveling back, so I didn't see the Hoosier Crossroads conference meet there. But I think it's going to be transformative for our sport in this state.
Yeah, actually, I didn't realize until I think I read your article that it's like a multi-purpose facility. I thought it was just a track, but
no, they're going to take out. And they're so used to putting the track up and taking it down. So just like for 3 months, I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous. Well, how can you have a swine barn there and then put an indoor track in there? But There's no odor. It's got very high ceilings. I think they're going to have, you know, concerts and maybe cheerleading competitions and other things in there. You know, to really make it worthwhile, it has to be multi-purpose. And I think it's been so good. I think the organizers kind of didn't realize what a gem they had there, because there are a lot of good indoor track and field facilities around the country, but they're hard to get to locations. And of course, Indianapolis is the crossroads of America, so it's ideal.
Yeah, it does seem like they're springing up left and right around Indianapolis, which is, it's exciting. Like, the more the merrier. Well, awesome. I appreciate you coming on. I'm excited to talk to you. We start off each episode with what's called tier talk. So we rank our top three in a certain category. For this week, the question is, what are the best things about spring? Do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. Mine are a little all over the place, a little vague as well. But number three for me is sunshine. I talked about this, I think, maybe two episodes ago, but I don't think I realized fully until the sun starts coming out regularly how much it just affects my mood and like outlook on the day. Just to, like, I don't know, see the sun and it's not dark all the time, not cold all the time. Just it feels good to be out in that. So that's third favorite thing about spring. Number two, with it right around the corner, I said March Madness. Love filling out the brackets, love watching the games. It's just like an exciting couple of weeks. I feel like it kind of brings people together. It's one of those things where, I don't know, I feel like there's very few events where you get together with family or friends and all watch it. Like the final game is usually one of them. So that's number two. Number one, this being a running podcast, I had to put it as comfortably running outside. It's like there's something special about grinding through the winter, coming out and having track meets and seeing all the work that you put in come to fruition, but being able to just run outside in like shorts and a t-shirt, it is nice. The only downside I'd say is we've had a couple spikes of it being, you know, 70s the past week or two, and it can be tough to adjust to that, but overall I enjoy the new weather. So what about you? What are your favorite things about spring?
I like all of that, plus the beginning of outdoor track and field season.
There we go. Is that your number one?
Probably, although I also like March Madness. In fact, probably a lot of people and readers in Indianapolis know me more from Butler basketball coverage than from Olympic sports coverage. And, you know, I was really fortunate to be on the Butler beat, you know, during a time of a great run of success, including back-to-back national championship games, which I still consider the greatest achievement in the history of college basketball, that to a Horizon League school hit the national championship game 2 years in a row. I mean, I think that's more insane than UCLA winning 10 years out of 12, because they almost always had all the best players.
Mm-hmm. True. So I went to probably four or five Butler games this year. And it feels like, because I've been to a couple, you know, two or three or four years prior, and I feel like things are changing. Just the feel around the program, I feel like it's heading in the right direction with under Thad Matta. Do you agree? How do you feel like the season went? Where do you feel like things are heading?
I think Butler had a better team this year. They you know, 9-11, you know, was not that bad in the Big East. You know, they defended so poorly that they lost to Xavier in the first round of the Big East tournament. But I think most of those guys will come back, because although they're pretty good players, they're not good enough maybe even to play as pros in Europe. So I think it would be in their best interest to all come back. But NIL money, which this old timer considers legalized cheating, and and the transfer portal have changed the sport a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I like hardly recognize the team this year with all the transfers. Okay, so our second opener is called Car Thoughts. The thoughts you have when you're driving in the car, on a run, on a walk, whatever you're doing alone. For me, something I'm thinking about over the past week, or I guess past couple of weeks, is I feel like I need some sort of fitness goal to stay motivated in my fitness, in my working out and eating well. Like, if I am not going after something, it's really hard for me to stay disciplined in what I'm doing. A goal for this, I guess probably next year or so, is to try to break 16 in the 5K. My PR is 1606, got super close to it on a Thanksgiving 5K like 3 years ago. So I want to like try to get back to it, and it's just been super motivating, and I've been eating better, and just I need something to go after. It's hard to for me to work out just for working out's sake. I'll still do it, but it's just not as engaging. And then not so serious, kind of piggybacking off of March Madness. I'm a Purdue fan. I went to Purdue, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very nervous heading into both the Big Ten tournament and then March Madness. We play Michigan State tomorrow at noon, which will be that'll be a test. They got a lot of talent, but then especially yeah, just heading into March Madness, we have it's been a rough 3 years. I feel like the team is different. I don't know, I feel like pretty fans say it every year, but something does feel different about this team. So I'm optimistic, but we'll see. What about you? What have you been thinking about the past couple of weeks?
Well, unfortunately, I think too much about politics, and a little bit like you 16 minutes, boy, that's very intense. I've promised my daughter that I would run the mini marathon with her. So here I am at age 70, training, I guess, to run the mini on whatever that May 5th or 6th. So I've committed myself to do a 8 mile run on Saturday. So I think I'll do that on the canal, near the Butler campus, because of running on the dirt, it's a little bit more forgiving on your body.
Absolutely. That's right where I live. I run on towpath a good amount. Do you have any like goals for it, or how's the training been going?
Because I didn't run the whole time I was in Scotland, so I thought I'd come back and be in big trouble, but it really we did do a lot of walking, so it really hasn't been too bad. I've run, 5 miles, reasonably comfortably a couple times, but I won't like running the eight on Saturday, but I think I need to do it. And I was kind of trying to find a maybe even a 10 mile run or something to, because I think if you do one more 10 mile run before the mini, it's enough. But I may just end up doing it by myself, and just goal just to finish, just around with my daughter Kathy, and she's been trained to do it. She has a we have a almost a 2.5 year old granddaughter, and so she's been balancing her training with her mothering and her job. So, but I promised I'd run with her, so I've got to do it now.
That's exciting. So is she in town? Like, are you training with her
No,
or?
she lives in Newport Richey, Florida. So
Oh,
she's
wow.
flying up. She's flying up for the race and going to stay here for a little bit.
Okay, cool. That's exciting.
Former Pike High School hurdler. So distance running is not her thing.
Okay, there you go. Something new for both of you then.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we're gonna get into kind of your background with distance running, with track in general, and then just talk, I guess, your career, and then also the things that you've seen and learned along the way as far as covering the sport of track and field goes. So starting from the beginning, I understand you grew up in Illinois, you ran track and field at one point. How'd you get introduced to the sport? What was it like growing up in Illinois? What was track and field like in Illinois? Yeah, kind of just take us through it.
Well, it sounds ridiculous, but I think I was influenced by a field day in elementary school. I don't know if they still have those now, where that you do various races. I don't know if they have a tug of war or whatever, but I unexpectedly was first in the 50-yard dash. Of course, you know if the timing was right, because it was all, they would just time you, and so I was, I was. And then I think won the 50 the next. So I was the fastest kid in the school, which is when you're, 11 years old, that's a big deal. And then ran junior high and high school track in Urbana, Illinois. And Urbana actually had a very strong track tradition. We weren't quite as good as some of the teams before us, but we did win our conference a couple of years. And definitely a highlight of my life was being on a on a mile relay team. You call it the 4x400 relay now, that qualified for the state meet, and we ran that in Memorial Stadium, which when they had the track inside the football stadium. So that was kind of formative, and I was sports editor and then editor of our school paper, and then kind of started working for the local paper the next fall, or just taking high school football scores, and just got to do more and more. So one year after running in the high school state meet, I was covering it for the Champaign-Urbana paper, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, I bet. Full circle there. When did you get interested in writing, or had you always been good at it, or even?
Well, I think I was destined to be a sports reporter probably since I was 12 years old. I would pick my own college football and basketball All-America teams, and wrote my own little books, and wrote for the high school paper, and then just so I guess I sealed my fate early, and then did not write for the student paper at the University of Illinois. I always wrote for the town paper. So sometimes I think it was almost like going to two schools at once, because I learned a ton working at the News Gazette, and then of course I also learned a lot from my conventional classes at the University of Illinois. So I guess I was doing a version of double sessions.
There you go. So like you said, you end up going to the University of Illinois. Did you consider trying to run in college? Like, did you try to go somewhere else to continue in track and field, or did you know you wanted to go to
I think life? I did. I think I did report for one call out meeting, but I would have been, I would, I was, I would have been so over my head. I mean, I actually, and I get chided by this sometimes by my wife. I sometimes wish I'd gone to a smaller college and run like, a Division III track. But my mother went to Illinois Wesleyan University, which is in Bloomington, Illinois. I sometimes wish I'd just gone there and studied, to be in journalism and then done college track there. But on the other hand, I got to do a ton of stuff early in my career by starting so early. So it must be what I was supposed to do.
Yeah. I feel like it's pretty rare to know what you want to do with your career that early. Did you, I guess, coming out of high school, did you know you wanted to go into journalism for sure? Or were you considering anything else?
I can't believe I did this now. I took some calculus courses foolishly thinking I'd do something with math. The third one I took was really going over my head. I did well in one of my first classes, but I could do the calculations, but I don't think I understood the theory. So I really enjoyed writing and reporting for the newspaper more than I enjoyed going to my classes. So yeah, I think it is a little unusual, but that's the path I took, it probably served me well, because I got a lot of experience at a young age and probably didn't have enough supervision. I mean, I just got to do whatever I thought was appropriate. If there was a club, like high school track meet at the University of Illinois Armory, I went and covered it because nobody told me I couldn't. So I was coming back and writing stories about that, and ended up kind of sort of covering all things track and field there, both high school and college, that's the path I set for myself, and it really was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you ran track and field. I'm sure that's a big reason why you got into covering the sport. But what was it about track and field that really drew you to it? And did you cover other sports during this time?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I covered the way the News Gazette did it, I thought it was really rather smart. They didn't have that many full-time employees, but the three big high schools in town were Urbana, Champaign Centennial, and Champaign Central. So one college student would cover each school. So I covered my old school Urbana, but then I kind of took over all the track. And I like track and field, I think, because really for a lot of reasons, maybe more than people would think. In some respects, I think that the sport it most resembles is baseball in terms of America, because there's a lot of numbers involved and it has a very rich history. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of the other sports, you know, have as many or as numbers reliant or have as rich a history as those two sports. And then as I got doing it more and as I got older, I think almost all the Olympic sports, the people stories are really interesting and are more fascinating. The athletes aren't as hostile to media sometimes as in professional football or professional basketball, combination of the numbers, which is basically just measurable human performance, and all the interesting backstories of the people and their struggles and their dreams and all those kinds of things. Which was one of the reasons I think Butler basketball was a good fit, because that was very fertile ground for storytelling as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really interesting comparison. I never heard that before between baseball and track and field. It does make a lot of sense. So once you had graduated from the University of Illinois, had you been running at all at this time? Like, did you keep with running, or did you kind of hang out?
I didn't. Throughout college, I didn't. In fact, I roomed for a couple of years with a successful high school a track and cross country coach, and he kind of helped me some. But anyway, I trained to try to run a sub-5 minute mile. I tried really. Talked about having goals and stuff. I tried really hard to do that one time, and one time trial, I think I ran like 5:00.4 or something like that. So while I was disappointed, as I reflect back on that, I mean, I still got the benefit of doing all that training, and I didn't quite do it, but I almost did it, and I really was more of a really built more as a sprinter than a distance runner. But I ran high school cross country to get in shape for track, and I do think it allowed me to be better in the long sprint and in the 440 yard dash, and I was in an unusual position because I was on the mile relay team, but I was our slowest guy of the four, but none of the other guys liked leading off, and I liked leading off. It was fine, so in some ways there was less pressure. Like, I didn't have to hand off in the lead. If I was near the front, we were fine. In fact, it was kind of where I think I led off in the lead twice, and both times we lost or dropped the baton or something. So if I led off in the lead, it was a jinx.
It's bad luck. So obviously, a lot of people around Indiana know you from your work in the Indy Star, but you didn't jump right into being in the Indy Star. Obviously, you're in Illinois once you graduated. So where did your career take you once you graduated?
Yeah, I stayed in Champaign-Urbana until 81, and then I went to the San Jose Mercury News in California. Went there partly because I wanted to work my way in and try to cover the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. That didn't happen, but I got kind of lucked into an interesting assignment where I was like a stadium scoreboard statistician helper. So I had a credential to the 84 Olympics. And by then I had left the Mercury News, but I had this. So I basically would look up various Olympic statistics, and then they would flash them up on the LA scoreboard after I looked them up and told them to the announcer. So that was kind of cool. And then I was worked in Springfield, Illinois for couple years where I met my wife Jan, and then I was back in Champaign-Urbana from 86 to 94. I was on the news desk a lot then, but then I got back into writing and covering some track and field, and arrived in Indianapolis in 94, really thanks to a colleague of mine who I'd worked with in Champaign, and been here ever since, and have really really enjoyed covering Olympic sports for the Indy Star, and covered every Olympics from 96 through 2016 at Rio, and then covered the Tokyo Olympics remotely, and I have a credential with Dystat, who are the parasomnias.
Oh, that's awesome. What kind of access does that get you?
I have pretty good access. I mean, they have the, I don't know if probably a lot of the listeners aren't familiar with the so-called mixed zone, but that's the area where athletes come off, off the track, and like there's a roped off area where reporters may interview them. Like all the rights holders and the people who paid for broadcast rights and stuff get first crack. So sometimes by the time they get to us, they're a little bit talked out, but they don't have to stop and talk to reporters, but they do have to pass through there. But I, largely the track and field athletes are pretty accommodating of media, and I really don't see what the benefit is to be hostile, because this sport struggles for coverage as it is. So to be a prima donna about it, I just don't think it makes any sense. Like that's why someone like Noah Lyles, I think, is doing a lot of good, by being so accessible. And by contrast, I think she's a very private person. Sydney McLaughlin LeBrone is kind of media unfriendly. I think it's just her personality. So I don't think she's probably as popular, as well known as she might be otherwise, because of that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You had mentioned that the sport does struggle a little bit for attention and for media coverage and for popularity. You've been covering it for a while. Have you seen some things that maybe could change that would change that narrative, or how do you think the sport gets more into the mainstream?
Well, I'm not sure. It competes with so many other sports over in the U.S. I mean, sad to say, I was probably one of, I think there were only three or four American reporters in Glasgow who were writing about the World Indoor Championships every day. And it's too much become like now, otherwise it'd be no, it's too much niche, like the mainstream media. New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, all those kinds of places have just kind of abandoned Olympic sports generally, and track and field specifically. And I think it's really something the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee should be concerned about, because these aren't once every 4 year sports. And I guess that's been a plus about track and field. I mean, I think there is more awareness of something like the World Championships, but I don't even know if the World Championships in Oregon 2 years ago moved the needle very much. And it's somewhat USA Track and Field's responsibility, but I don't know that they can do all of it. And it may just be stuck in this never-ending cycle that track and field is just to grab for whatever crumbs it can. Although I do think I do think track and field viewership at the Paris Olympics will be very good. The U.S. team will be very good. The swimming star of the Paris Olympics is going to be a French swimmer, Léon Marchand. I don't know that any, Katie Ledecky will be big, but no male swimmer, I don't think, for the U.S. is going to capture everyone. I'm sure NBC will going hard on Simone Biles, but it is too bad that the sport doesn't have a higher profile. Because I can make a pretty good case that Ryan Crouser is the best or most dominant male athlete in the world right now. And if you interviewed, say, 100 fans at a Pacers game, I don't know if even one would know who Ryan Crouser is.
Thank you. You might be right. Something that's
And that, and
always,
that's really unfortunate.
it is, it really is. And something that's always, I don't know what the right word is, maybe confused me, is like the quantity of people that do run, like whether it just be they go outside for a run every week or every once in a while, like they participate in the sport, that have no idea about the professional level, about these athletes. They wouldn't know who Ryan Crouser is or Jarner Gus or Jakob Ingebrigtsen. It's interesting because like the if you go to any pickup basketball game anywhere in the nation and ask him who, I don't know, Kevin Durant is, like, obviously everyone is gonna know. It's just interesting, like, the disconnect between people, the quantity of people that exercise and run, and the lack of knowledge or the lack of care, I guess, about the professional level. If you'd like to continue listening to this episode of the podcast, you'll need to subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/IndianaRunner. Once you do, you'll get access to all full-length episodes of the interview portion of the podcast, in addition to other subscriber-only content, including extra content on race previews and recaps, book club episodes, the ability to ask my guest questions, and much more. Thanks again for listening to and supporting this podcast. I look forward to connecting with you on Patreon.